Hello, everybody. My name is Markus Talvio, and today we talk a little bit of value collisions and how to handle the situation where people disagree on values. First of all, it's very important to understand that we cannot solve problems that are based on values. We can handle them in a way, we can talk about them, we can deal with them, but to solve problems is always based on the needs. We can find solutions, but for values, it might be quite difficult. So we have to, first of all, to understand that people are allowed to keep their values, whatever they are. If we want to collaborate with them and cooperate with them in a good way, then we let people keep their values. So next I'm going to show you some slides that might help you to understand this phenomenon a little bit better. All right. When it comes to value differences, it's quite typical that there's a lot of power in this interaction. And how do we regard that? Well, the first thing that we sometimes do is that we escape. Somebody's using a lot of power, so we escape from it. It can be also like a mental, so that we kind of just stop talking to that person, or we just withdraw a little bit from this conversation, or something like that. Another way of doing is that we start fighting. If somebody is telling us what we have to do based on his or her values, and we disagree, we start to fight. That's another way what we do. Or the third thing is that we knuckle under, and it means that we sort of play that we are okay with that, but we have a feeling that this doesn't go very well. And this is especially typical when we talk about values and when there's the problem between the differences of values of two people. And Gordon has told us the ways how we could handle value collisions, not necessarily solve the problems, but we could handle them in the way that we can live together, even work together with those people whose values are so much different. And if you look at from the bottom to the top, there you see that the risk increases. So on the bottom, there's evaluation of values of my own. So it means that, can I change my value? Can I think in a new way? And for example, many young people have their new thoughts and opinions on something. For example, climate change or sexual orientation or things like that. And it is possible that we have a little bit old-fashioned way of looking at this phenomenon. And sometimes young people are very good at teaching us new ways of thinking and fresh our ideas. So this is not really risky if you can change your thoughts yourself, your values of yourself. Because when you kind of start thinking in a new way, it is okay for the other person. The second one there is being a model. And it means that I try to live my life in a way what I respect, what I value. And it means that if I value healthy life, then I don't smoke, or then I go to gym once in a while. Those kinds of things that kind of help other people to understand what my values are. And being a role model is very effective way of influencing other people. Already Albert Bandura said that it is more powerful to be a role model than what has been suggested before. So it's a very good idea to not to say much about what value you think are worthy, but just act in a way that everybody knows that this is his or her value. And then the third one there is confrontation, I message, and listening. So this is much more risky to our interaction or relationship if I kind of send a confrontation I message, because then I kind of express my being worried or sort of things. So for example, if I say that I'm worried that you have started smoking because it's very dangerous for your lungs, I can do that. But there are people are not always willing to hear your confrontation. And sometimes people become irritated, or they want to explain why they do such things. And then it is very, very important that you shift gears and you start to listen, so that you let the person express him or herself and express his or her emotions that were caused by your confrontation I message. And when you listen, it's very important that you show acceptance, that you kind of accept all these explanations, whatever they are. And you have told, you have said what you have wanted to, and that's enough. And you cannot just make sure that the other person really has understood what you have said. It is just enough that you say it once and then you listen. That's the way how you can show your respect, even though you talk about a difficult thing. And yeah. Okay, then we have advising. And advising is even more active than confrontation, I message, and listening. And in advising, it is also very, very important that you have good relationship with the person you are advising. And first, you have to make sure that the person is really willing to listen to your advice. Because if the person doesn't want to hear your advice and you still give it, then it's roadblock. And it might ruin your good relationship and make it even worse. If you just remember your teenage time, maybe your parents or your teachers might have given you some advice which you didn't really want to hear. And this is the same thing. If you don't want, if the person doesn't want to listen to your advice, then it's roadblock, and it's not good at all. Sometimes it is important to develop methods or develop ways together how to how to change or modify behavior of the other person that is disturbing and that is based on values. And it's very strong method when you kind of brainstorm with the other person how he or she could behave in a different way so that this value wouldn't be so disturbing. And one typical example could be like bad language. For example, let's say that your student or your daughter or son is using bad language. So maybe you could maybe you could find ways how this bad language wouldn't disturb you so much. For example, I remember my colleague once said that her daughter used very bad language at the age of 5, and she didn't even understand what the words meant, but she wanted to use them. And when she saw her mother being angry at that, she just wanted to continue just to irritate her mother. And then the mother said okay, let's brainstorm how I could not get disturbed by your bad language. I'm not going to tell you to stop it, but always when I'm here, I don't want to hear those words. And then they decided that the girl goes to the bathroom, and then she's able to say whatever she wants to. And when she comes out, then she doesn't speak that bad language anymore. So brainstorming when the behavior could be, how to get rid of that bad behavior so that it doesn't disturb the relationship. That's like both win method. But it is quite risky, really. And the risky risks even increase when you threaten to use power. When you say that, if you still do something like this, I will do something. I won't let you go out tonight. I am going to punish you. I'm going to give you the weekly money or something like that. So those methods are quite typical, aren't they? We have heard them at school. We have heard them at home. But if you look at, they are on the top of this list, also using power, saying that all right, now you don't go out for 2 weeks. You stay home here, always in the evenings. No TV, no No computers. And they are really, they can be quite powerful. Adults use their power. But if we look at the relationship, the relationship might become worse because and sometimes they are really important to use. Let's say that that you need to get your students out from burning school, then there's no time for negotiations. But normally there are quite many other methods that could be used before we have to use power or threaten to use power. And I think it's wonderful to think that if I really want to influence my students, I have to think that I cannot use a lot of power then. The more I use power, the less there's place for influencing someone. And influencing someone is what we want to do. If we are parents, if we are teachers, if we are just responsible adults, we want that young people kind of look what we do and they can understand why we have chosen this and that way. So I believe that in many cases, every adult wants to offer these experiences, these good experiences that we have had and that we have a lot of life that we have lived. So there's a lot of things that we know better. And that's why we sometimes think that it would be good if kids would listen to us and they would understand, they wouldn't do these mistakes we probably have done ourselves, things like that. And then if you want the kids or young people listen to you and really follow your opinions or thoughts and your values, then you cannot really use much power. And I think this is some news for coaches and teachers, because we haven't probably thought like that before. And I think it's a good time to think a little bit, what kind of people did you or did influence, had influence on you, and probably understand that, yeah, they were people who didn't have to use power, but I just admired them, and I felt that that their life was something that I wanted to live myself to. So that's why I think handling value collisions is very important thing to handle if you want to be an influencer instead of a person who uses a lot of power. Okay, thank you very much for your attention.